This is Sherry Yuen Hunter. Welcome to the Sandwich Parenting Podcast, where we speak with amazing people making the world a better place by helping others heal from intergenerational trauma. Sandwich parents are in between the way we got parented and the way we now want to parent our children. Aiza Ashraf, based in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, who is originally from Pakistan, is a U.S. certified conscious parenting and mindset master coach with several years of corporate and neuroscience-based coaching experience. A fellow JAI graduate from the Institute of Parenting, her diverse client base of parents and educators have gained self-awareness, have healed from trauma, and discovered emotional safety within to become emotionally safe individuals and caregivers. So I hope all of you can join me in welcoming Aiza.
Thank you very much, Sherry. I'm very happy to be here and I'm very happy to be talking to you today.
This is always my first question. What is your origin story and how did you become Beta Mama?
Beta Mama has taken about three upgrades with me. The first one was when I became a parent 9 years ago, and I started Beta Mama as a simple blog for home-based, play-based activities for children, for babies and toddlers. And little did I know that at that time, my intention of doing all of this constant activities and play-based was my own need to be needed. And my child and eventually my children didn't need it, really. Of course, they enjoy it and they love it. And who doesn't like resources and getting messy and exploring? So that was there. But the second upgrade that Beta Mama took happened because I was in a dark space at the time. I had just had my newborn baby, which was the third one. She was a newborn. And I was in a headspace where I was questioning everything. Basically, in a nutshell, I felt nobody gets it. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody's there. Nobody's available. I was a fully functional adult, by the way. I was going to school, the pickups and the drop-offs and the playing and the home and the groceries and the social calendar. Everything was happening. So if you saw me and met me, I was your average mom of three and a fully functional adult. But I remember in those times speaking to my husband and thinking, he doesn't get it. And talking to my mother on the phone when she would call from back home and say, yep, everything's okay, mom. And nothing is okay. I wanted to get out of it because I had depressive thoughts. I had suicidal thoughts too.
Yeah.
I remember reaching out to a friend, asking her to please put some sense into me because I make that trip to the kitchen every night mentally in my head to that knife drawer and I mentally slit my wrists. And what's going to happen when I do that? And it wasn't a question of what's going to happen if I do that? What's going to happen to my children if I do that?
No.
It was what's going to happen to my children when I do that? And yeah, so that was a dark space to be in. In hindsight, today, right now, I know that I was in my deepest, darkest, dorsal, vagal, shutdown nervous system state. I wasn't connected to a single soul on the planet. And I don't know where the motivation came from. No, actually, I know where the motivation came from. It was my children.
I know.
And I wanted to do better. I wanted to be better. I wanted to stay literally alive for my children.
I understand.
And yeah, that's where the motivation came from. And I stood back up. I guess I decided to just understand myself. It's okay if nobody gets it. It's okay if nobody understands. I'm going to understand myself. And it's okay if right now I feel like I don't belong anywhere. I will belong to me. I can be there for me, and I will choose to be there for me every day. And I think this is where the thought started from. And I'll already mention I started looking for ways to connect better with God spiritually. And my very first questions on this journey was, what is my relationship and connection with Him? What does that look like? I don't even have a relationship with him. I don't even have a connection with him. How am I supposed to turn to him and ask for help? I don't even know who he is. And I'm only scared of him. And I'm only fearful of him. And I only pray to him when I'm scared. I don't have a loving relationship with him. So where do I go? And I think that's where it started from. And I walked one step ahead to find him. And I really feel like he came running to me because he was waiting. And he said, "Here, come, I'll show you the way." And I've been on that second upgrade of Beta Mama. And once I lifted it, it was a lift experience for me, the passion and the purpose automatically came. And I said, oh my God, if I can come from where I was to where I am right now, even if it was imperfect and, you know, rough around the edges, but I understood a few things. And I was like, if I need to tell somebody, like I literally started calling my friends. I was like, listen, you have to sit down and you have to listen to what I have to say. And they were like, what? Relax. We're all parenting. It's fine. No. I will tell you something I know. And that's how it started. And I read a wonderful thing once in one of the educators. She lives in Australia, and I read on it on her page, and it said, "So where do I begin? Where do I start coaching?" And she said, "Just start with your community. All children deserve this." And it was so beautiful and so profound for me. And that's what I did. I said, "Yes, every single child deserves to have a happy, peaceful home. And I'm going to start with my community." And that's where I started from. And that's where Beta Mama simple blog turned into a parent coach place. And then I received my own certifications twice in the last 2 years. Now I've been coaching parents for the last 3 years, and it's for becoming better parents, but also there's no way around it without becoming a better human being first. So you have to work on yourself, and it's all about you. So now I understand that conscious parenting or respectful parenting or mindful parenting or positive, call it anything, but the word parenting was never for the kids. Parenting was for us.
100%.
It depicted us in the picture, not the child. We are the parents, and we are the ones parenting. That's our job. So that's how it took all the upgrades, and now I have my programs that I offer, and I'm working on them with my clients.
What an incredible journey. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm sure that many people can relate to the darkness. We don't often hear us talking about how dark it gets. So I'm so inspired by, you know, you and coaches who say, you know, I went through this, and now I want to share this with you. Now, in this, you know, journey, there's a concept that you bring up, kud agahi.
Yes.
And I want to know, what is this concept? How can you share with us, and why and how is it a part of your work?
Khud agahi is a Urdu word.
Yes.
And it means self-awareness. Khud is self, and agahi is awareness. And khud agahi was born around that point where I personally realized that no matter how many tools and skills and strategies I keep giving parents to parent better, it's only going to get better when they become more aware of themselves, when they create that self-awareness, when they build that consciousness, when they understand the concept of, oh, so this is living an unconscious life and this is living a conscious life. When I know all the layers of my own mind and I can think what I'm thinking while I'm thinking it, and I can feel what I'm feeling while I'm feeling it, that is consciousness. And then, you know, then things kind of slow down for you generally. Like when you begin, it's like all over the place. And I remember being coached by my coach.
Yes.
And I remember telling her an example where my children were 5, 3, and 1, I think, and all three of them were in my face, and all three of them wanted the same doll. And I told her this situation that I felt flustered and I don't know whose side to take and what to do. And you know, she told me I really owe a lot of my work to her. She said, so what you do is you know, she mentioned my son's name. You say, Ibrahim, so you want the doll, and then you turn to your child and say, oh, so you also want the doll. And I was like, what is she talking about? This is not how it goes. I talk to him and I talk to her. It's like a split second, you know, madness. And she just simply told me, just keep practicing. Just keep doing what you're doing. And I'm glad I did. I practiced and I just trusted the process. And I said, fine, I'll try it. But let's see what happens. And I continue to practice. And really, the game slows down for you. Because the things in your brain slow down. You're like, oh, okay. So they're coming to me and I'm feeling triggered now.
I can feel
and, you know,
it.
This is, yeah, this is all happening in like 2-3 seconds. And he wants this and he's angry and she's like this. And I can say this to them and diffuse the situation. And it's all happening within a few seconds. So
it's that a split kind of second. It really is a split second, isn't it? And so,
yes.
So what you're saying is that, you know, life, of course, is going to get crazy, especially with, you know, one or two or three kids. Generally, but if you go into slow motion somehow, just to kind of slow that moment down and practice that, it changes everything.
Yes, the practicing the pause. I need to pause. I don't need to react.
No.
I need to create a buffer between my stimulus and trigger and my response.
Yes.
And you continue to practice that buffer and that the buffer continues to increase and nothing really happens, but so many things happen in your brain and everything slows down. And I love an example where when I was hearing Dr. Umar Suleiman, he's a Muslim American scholar. He was talking about somebody he interviewed, a basketball player, and he's a well-renowned basketball player. And he asked him that, how are you here, and how are your peers not here? What's the difference between your game and theirs? And he said, at my level, when you've practiced as much as you've practiced and when you've played as much as you've played and when the passion and the purpose and everything is there, the game slows down for you. And it's not the same for everyone. The basketball and the field and the space and the everything changes. You know, you must have seen Messi this World Cup where there's so many players and there's no, literally for an average you and me, there's no space in the field. And what is he doing? How is he getting the ball all over? So the game slows down for them. I was like, oh my God, this is so true for my work, because the game slows down in your mind.
It does.
And then everything changes. Everything shifts. You're like, I can handle it. Oh, I can deal with this. Oh, piece of cake. Not every day. Of course, we are human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to yell at our children. We're going to lose it. But many, many days, it becomes a slowed down version and the peace follows and the calm follows. And then you exude that energy back into your family, your children.
Which so, changes everything, doesn't it?
It
changes things. Because where you are, you mentioned earlier, and I believe this too, I went on a similar journey where I realized that parenting wasn't about, you know, having a script or having the children behave a certain way. It really is about that awareness of where, and in slowing it down and creating that pause. It really is. It changes everything. It really changes everything.
So that's where Khuda Gahi came in.
Mm-hmm.
I created this program because I realized that parents need to know that self-awareness, that healing, transformation space, within themselves. And then, you know, my client space has increased also because now I am reaching out to people who may not be parents also. Who may also not be married because they're connecting with me.
Isn't that interesting? I had the same. Yes.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? Because it's universal. It's not just about parenting.
Absolutely. And the ones who are coming to me who are married and about to have kids or want to have kids, I'm like, you're in such a beautiful place right now. You work on yourself and you figure yourself out and you know who you are. And then you have a baby. It will be such a phenomenal experience to be able to experience your child like this. It's going to be okay. I'm in control. I'm enough. I'm doing enough. I got this with that kind of mindset when you have a baby then.
It changes everything.
Yeah. I created this program last year and it did 68% better than my parenting program because people want to know. They want to know what is this healing thing and this self-awareness thing everyone is talking about. And my clients, I'm glad they see results also. So, yeah.
I love that. I deeply relate to that. I recently put in a note to someone, a part of me is so jealous that you're starting before you have your child, you know, that you're doing this work. But
yes,
all my other parts are celebrating and saying, yay, you know, good for you.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm in awe of all those parents now who know this,
yeah,
who get this, and who understand it way before they're having children, or they've just had children, or they start their parenting journey this way. And I just, yes, I celebrate thinking what their household looks like. Much, much different from ours, but we are on the way too. We are trying our best. We are getting there. Yeah.
So I'm curious, because I don't actually see many Muslim coaches in this parenting space. And I am very curious, you know, as you're doing your coaching, do you see cultural specifics when you're coaching your clients?
Actually, I think I would have to agree with you. There are few coaches that are Muslim who are in this space. Generally, really in our culture, whenever it comes to religion, it becomes really preachy.
And a little rigid sometimes when we start like if there are rules or if yeah, there are cultural expectations, it feels, yes, a little bit more rigid.
And we start doing the shoulding.
Yeah.
That you talk about so much, that we should do this and we shouldn't do that. And, you know, then there's no space for mistakes and there's no space for forgiveness. And I think when I bring that to the table, it just, you know, relaxes everyone. Oh my God, okay, I can make mistakes. And I am worthy of forgiveness from myself and from God. He can forgive me. He will. He mentions it again and again and again that I'm going to forgive you. Every single time you ask for forgiveness sincerely, I will know that you're asking for it sincerely and I will forgive. And you can move on from there. And yet as we grow up, we just forget that he's willing to forgive.
Well, society often behaves as though, you know, we're not allowed to make mistakes, right? And in the world of internets, a mistake can be there for a very long time, forever.
Yes.
And so it can be quite scary. And so this internal, but also this power, this additional all-encompassing power that gives us this permission to be forgiven is very powerful. It's a calling, isn't it, for you?
Yes, absolutely. I can absolutely say that. Passion, purpose, calling. I know this, that I am 100% passionate about this when I am okay with working on something for my work past 2 a.m. I know I'm deeply into this because I know I'm going to wake up literally feeling hungover in the morning, but I still want to do it. I want to get this done. So yes, I really do deeply love my work, and I've had clients tell me, I said, your passion about the religion bit also is contagious. It's like, oh my God, I want to know more.
Why are you so passionate about what you do?
Because Sherry, it changed my life. It was a lived experience. Again, I would mention again that passion, that understanding, that realization came from, I know where I was mentally at one point in time, no self-love, nothing good to say to myself about myself. No matter what I did, I'm a recovering perfectionist. I've been a perfectionist all my life. Everything has to be planned, organized, perfect to the dot. And I still didn't have anything compassionate to say to myself. So I really believe that if I can move from that space to where I am today, right now, trying my best to help other people, seeing the change and transformation in them, then there is no bigger passion and purpose for me, to continue doing this work. And the second thing was that my spiritual well-being improved. I really, really believed all my life that I am a bad Muslim. And I miss my prayers, and I don't read the book. Quran is what we have, and I'm a bad Muslim, and I can never get there. I'll never get there.
Wow, that is so much pressure.
Absolutely. I don't remember which day. I just had it in me, ingrained, conditioned. I am a bad Muslim, and I don't want to go back blame, but we generally have this bad guy label with God that, you know, if you don't do this, God will punish you. If you don't finish the food on your plate, God is going to see that you're wasting food. People who are hungry, who don't get food, you're going to get punished for this. If you don't do something I want you to do as a parent, God is watching. He's going to punish you.
Judgment, judgment, judgment. So yeah, the relationship judgment. That you had was absolutely. About judgment and shame.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Just judgment, just shame, just evaluation. He's only just looking at me, finding things that I do wrong so he can just write them down.
Yeah.
And that shifted.
Wow.
And I had to completely dismantle that belief and make myself believe, no, he loves me. He loves me for many, many, many reasons. Let's explore. And that's where it started from. And that's where the self-compassion came in and the forgiveness came in and the constant mistakes. I made a mistake again. It's all right. I'm human. I'm supposed to make mistakes. I'm not supposed to be perfect. I'm not an angel. That's why he didn't make me an angel. He made me a human. I'm supposed to be imperfect. And really, the people think it's compliance you'll get into. If you keep saying that to yourself, oh, it's okay. I made a mistake. Oh, it's okay. But really, the lived experience told me I do better when I'm self-compassionate to myself. I move forward. I don't stay stuck in one place. I don't give up easily. I don't say, I can't. I just can't be better mom. I just can't be a good Muslim. I can't do it. There's a quote here that changed my life. There was my life before this quote and then my life after this quote, literally. And I want to say it. I want to tell you what it is. And it says that when God loves you, he won't necessarily bless you in ways that are obvious or material, like a new high-powered job or prestigious degrees. Instead, he will favor you in ways that make you more grounded internally and make you a better human being. He will give you a better sense of self. He will give you a better sense of self-worth. He will give you clarity in knowledge. He will give you clarity in knowing him. He will give you more opportunities to help others, and ultimately, he will give you peace of mind and a sound heart. Sometimes his blessings are not obvious.
It's so amazing.
To keep going.
Yeah. And so you've taken your passion and you've created amazing programs. So you do one-on-one parenting coaching. You do transformation guidance. You do couples parent coaching. And of course, you have your signature program, Respectful Parenting Group Workshops. What would it feel like?
I'll just take you a little bit through what I actually do.
Yeah.
I would start off with a discovery call.
Yes.
I would give them a small taste of what it feels like to be seen, to be heard, to be understood without interruption and without judgment and evaluation. Mm. And then I let them decide. By the time potential clients have come to me for a discovery call, they're 80% sold. So money, pricing, everything else, timing is secondary to them then. And once they experience this, I give my one-on-one clients 3 months. I ask them for 3 moons. I say, give me 3 months to download everything that I know with respect to neuroscience, attachment science. The science is proving it. It's not just philosophy and nice theoretical stuff. It's science saying this. It's proving it. I really get to connect with my clients because I know how logical I am, and I want proof and I want science. And when I learned this, I was like, now I can rest in this. Now I can love my children fully and the way I want, because thank God science has proven it, that I can do it. So it really gives my clients hope also that, oh my God, okay. So I can let this go and be okay and be passionate and compassionate towards my children, and it's okay. And then at the end of those 3 months, I give them life coaching. 3 months means anywhere between 18 to 24 hours of life coaching. And I stay in touch with them on WhatsApp. And I've experienced, from my personal experience, whichever client gets to use my WhatsApp service benefits much, much more. Because in those WhatsApp conversations, I'm discussing their personal challenges specific to them day on day, you know, feeling on feeling by feeling and thought by thought. It really, really helps them consolidate the information that I pass on during my coaching sessions. It's very educational based for now, because I do want to pass on that information first and then come to specific challenges, which is on WhatsApp. So it could flow. I out of experience, the first 3-4 sessions, you know, I'm on an agenda and I'm like, I'm going to cover this and this, but it really happens because the client wants to talk and they want to talk and they want to talk and they want to talk. And I'm like, okay, I need to give them space right now. When they're done talking, and then they literally are after 3-4 sessions, like, okay, fine, you tell what you have to say now. I'm good. I don't have anything in my head to pass on to you. So that's what it looks like. At the end of the 3 months, I've been very, very lucky, and I'm grateful that the kind of reviews that I've received, every single one of them says that you have somehow, God is the third entity in the room, and we can feel it and we love it because they feel connected to him too. Mm. And then I've also always received this review that it's kind of like a, like an ongoing work, which is not going to finish with you. You've passed it on to me, and I've passed it on to my family, and it's going to continue. As you're going to benefit, and you're going to reap the rewards long after you're gone, because you've just passed on a cycle to. And I think it's the biggest compliment that I have ever gotten, and I keep close to my heart and remember.
It's such a powerful combination, because you're kind of a science geek on top of, you know, being religious. Like you encompass the spiritual side with this sort of logical science side, and that comes together so beautifully for your clients. It's not an either or. For anyone, you're bringing it all together. And as humans, holistically, you know, we need different aspects of interaction with ourselves. Absolutely. And with the world. So that's so beautiful. What a beautiful share. It really sounds like also the way you structure your programming. From my experience with clients too, it really sounds like you're addressing their need to be seen and heard, and kind of dump. I don't want to use the word dump, but get it out, like get that out of their system.
Yes, yes.
And then you have an educational part, and then you have a transformational part. So that's such a beautiful, like that makes so much sense. So sadly, we are sort of coming towards the end of the session. And I always like to ask this question. Sometimes it's hard, but with you, I feel like you're going to be able to answer this beautifully. What is one piece of advice that you have for parents?
So I really like this, and I have it open in front of me, something that Dr. Daniel Siegel said in his book. Mm. And I really want to share this. And it said for parents that as parents, awareness and emotional well-being improves, that children reap the rewards. Integrating and cultivating your own brain is one of the most loving and generous gifts you can give your children. And that's it. That's it, really. And I want to add to this that this is one of the most loving and generous gifts you can give your children and to yourself. Mm. Really, you experience this entire journey, and only then you find out, oh my God, this is what Isa was talking about, and this is what Isa was charging for. I get it. I totally get it now. So yes, that is it. You get to know yourself, and you, if you're at a challenging point in your life, even if you're not at a challenging point of your life, there is just no harm in increasing your self-awareness and increasing your consciousness and getting to know yourself better and showing up for yourself and showing and being present for yourself and understanding and empathizing and being compassionate to yourself. There's just no side effects.
Isa, I have to say that I really needed this. It was so beautiful to learn from you, to kind of get caught up with your passion. I resonate with a lot of what you said about your growth, and I just wanted to thank you for what you do in terms of making the world a better place.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you for having this conversation with me today. I loved it. Thank you for giving me the space to tell my story and to share and talk. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Sandwich Parenting Podcast. I hope that you learned something new that will help you along your journey. See you next time. This is Sherry Yuen Hunter signing off.